Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome once again to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, everyone. My name is Alon.
And my name is Ara.
And my name is Adam.
Adam is here with us this week. Adam, what are you from? What do you do?
I am a media producer. I produce podcasts and videos and, you know, easy, Andrew.
Yes. And Andrew, of course, behind the glass there, running the show, making sure that we actually hit the airwaves. We appreciate that very much. We're here at KFNX News Studios, KFNX 1100 AM in the heart of Phoenix, sort of.
Well, everyone else
we're
is watching
in the
sun.
Right.
Firmly ensconced at the corner of 3rd and something.
Yes, that's where you can direct all of your protesters and hate mail.
And, yeah, all of your exploding hate mail because it doesn't go to my house. Now, we talk about games here at the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. You can visit chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about the show itself. Go to our live chat room, interact with us during the show, if I remember to actually turn it on, which I will do in a moment. And, of course, you can email Ara and myself right from our home page. Now, today we're going to talk about games, like I was saying. I was playing a couple games this week. I played Super Rub-A-Dub for the PS3. Just the demo, not the whole thing. I don't think it actually warrants a purchase.
Do you realize how obscene that sounds?
Super Rub-A-Dub?
Yes.
Well, it sounds obscene because I want to call it Super Rub-A-Dub Dub. And to me, I feel like I'm neglecting it in some way. But it's called Super Rub-A-Dub. And you get to roll around, or not roll, but I guess float some duckies around a tub.
That
with
rhymes.
Wind-up sharks. Yeah.
Wow.
It's good times. It's interesting. I saw it and I immediately thought, this is a game that someone who isn't into games would like. And so I showed it to someone who doesn't play games a lot, pretty much ever. I was like, here, give it a shot. Because it's just, there's no buttons to press. Right? And honestly, that took me a minute to figure out. I was like, what am I supposed to
do? What do you do? Is it some kind of like mental thing or like looking at an aquarium or what?
Well, no, it's for the PS3, so it's got tilt control.
Oh, so you're tilting.
So I just didn't realize. I was just holding it. Nothing was happening, pressing buttons and stuff. And then I realized it shook a little bit. I go, oh, wait a minute. It's tilt control. So not a single button. And what's cool, too, is that it's also got accelerometers in the PS3. It's not just tilt. So you shake it, like you tap the controller up, and it makes the ducky jump out of the water, right?
Right.
And then back in. So it's interesting because it's got this tactile sense to it, you know, because you're only moving, no pressing buttons. And so I enjoyed that. And I thought, this is good for someone who doesn't play games, which is sort of like what Nintendo's trying to do with the Wii. And so I handed it to someone who doesn't play games much, and she enjoyed it. I mean, I could see her getting into it more than she would some other game.
What's the goal of it? You just guiding around
obstacles?
It's
basically Pac-Man without a joystick.
Now, why do you say it's good for someone who doesn't play games?
Because it's got that real-world feel, because
it doesn't use video game logic. It just uses
no buttons, no joysticks. It's just I've got this thing in my hand, which very exactly represents the thing I see on the screen. And then if I shake it, it does something that's sort of realistic, as if I were holding the tub in my hand. It's what would happen if I were to shake it upwards. And plus, it's analog in that fashion, where if you just a little bit, it'll hop a bit. You do it a lot, and the duck will, you know, shoot out of the tub quite a bit.
Some of the best games I've ever played didn't have any buttons.
Like what?
Like Super Monkey Ball.
That's true.
No buttons.
No, like, I agree with you. That's one of the things that makes Super Monkey Ball so accessible.
Another really cool game called Camel Tri, which probably nobody's ever heard of.
I certainly have not.
It's basically, all you do is you just rotate this whole board around, and there's gravity, right? And there's a marble falling. Yeah. It's one of the coolest games I've ever seen. And
what's it called?
It's called Camel Tri.
And is it for the PC?
No, it was a Super Nintendo game, originally came out in the arcade.
Camel Tri?
Yeah. These crazy Japanese games, what?
Okay, I'll have to play that.
It's really, really awesome. You can find it on emulators, on MAME and stuff.
Right on.
You can,
So it was arcade first?
It was an arcade game originally, yeah. I don't even know if it came out in this country for the Super Nintendo.
I certainly would recognize the name, I think, if it came out.
Which, I mean, they might have changed names. You know how they changed, like, Puyo Puyo to Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine and all that stuff. But,
yeah, well, the Genesis version was Dr. Robotnik's. It was
right.
A Kirby game.
Right. Like that's, maybe they did that sort of thing. I don't know. But this is just, like, one of the most ingenious game ideas. Only, like, this kind of control scheme and this kind of, like, motif for a game You know, I've only seen it in this game, which is kind of a shame because you can do so much with it.
You know, I wish I could have a better idea of what your the goal actually is.
Here's what it is, right? There's like a 2D board, right? But there's gravity. So you have a ball in the middle, and the ball always just falls downward, right?
That's what gravity does.
And the 2D board is like a puzzle. So you're turning the puzzle around to guide the ball to the exit.
They actually have actual physical games like that, don't you? Where you know, you tilt the little plastic thing and the metal ball falls in the holes. Is that what it is?
That's not exactly what it is, but the same idea, right? I mean, it's 2D instead of a 3D.
I imagine that that's what it is thematically.
Right.
Probably some things you have to avoid and traps and whatnot.
Yeah, it's so freaking cool. Everybody should play it.
How do we get on the subject? Because it's kind of like Super Rub-A-Dub.
Because there's no buttons. All you do is you turn the field.
Yeah, but I mean that you still have to press directional pads. Like this is so much like as if you were really holding it. Now I can understand that game's cool too. But the reason I thought this would be awfully accessible to a non-game player was because of how, I don't want to say realistic, because it's not exactly realistic, but the feel of it, the control to the game, because I think one of the major barriers to game playing for non-gamers is understanding control systems, which is why Nintendo went the way they did with the Wii, right?
So how do you think the PS3 is doing with games like this, trying to attract people like Flow, you know, could be a game you think you could put in this category?
Life that could be simple. Now,
apparently make them less gamey.
Well, the thing is, I think, and I don't really know if I have my finger on this particular pulse of America and the world, but I have a feeling that the PlayStation Store isn't all that accessible to people, just because a lot of people, I don't think they even know that you can do that on the PS3. It's just not known. Whereas Xbox, it's so much part of the Xbox 360 that...
Yeah, it seems that the Wii, what people like doing that aren't into games, is just like getting up and having fun with their friends. I don't know if they're really interested in, you know, playing games that's simple and understand as so much as just have a social experience.
Well, yeah, but in order to do that, it has to be easy to play. Like, even a game like DDR, right? Relatively easy to play.
Right.
But I'll be in an arcade somewhere where there's a DDR machine, people who've never played it before, and I'll play and I'll, you know, play something that's hard.
Right.
And then they watch, they go, oh, I don't want to do that.
Because they don't want to be embarrassed.
Oh, yeah, that's too much. Right. And that maybe not a very good example because of the public display involved and something like
right,
that. But
right. But
the point is that it has to be very accessible and very easy to understand so that there's absolutely no worry that you're not going to do well or that you're not going to understand it in some way. And that's what's great about the Wii, that it's so much, at least like with sports, which is, I think, the main example of what the Wii does. The public anyway, they see the sports game and say, oh, well, I can swing a racket, right? So I can play the Wii. And that's what's cool about Super Rub-A-Dub, where you're just sort of holding this thing and you have to first convince the person to actually hold the controller, but beyond that, you know, you're just sort of rolling the duck around.
All right, so my question is, you know, is this a toy or is this a game? Does this have a goal?
Or just
playing around, you know, watching
it's
things
gimmicky. It's not that great a game, man. It's what I did like about it, what they're doing that I found interesting was, and this isn't so much about the topic we've been discussing so far, but I played and, you know, to get a gold medal, you have to perform this level, get all the things in, you know, a certain amount of time, right? And I couldn't get gold on the last two of the five levels that were available to me, but I was able to watch the replay, as long as I was connected to the internet, I was able to watch the replay of the top five players in the world.
That's pretty cool.
So, like, something that I couldn't do in 20 seconds, they had done in 3 seconds, which is after bonus times reduce, right? It's not really 3 seconds, but I think they did it in 13 seconds or something. And I was able to watch that replay, which is sort of what the PlayStation Network is gearing up to. Like, they showed off with Little Big Planet, how you're going to be able to play other people's levels and see them ranked and all that.
Yep.
So they're having these leaderboards, this centralized leaderboard. I'm very excited about that.
I cannot wait for a little... That's the day I buy a PlayStation 3, is the day that game comes out.
That's the day I use my roommate's PlayStation 3, essentially. very excited about that. But they have the replay that you can watch for other people, which I think you can do that to some extent on the Xbox 360. I just had never really come across it. Like, you can even watch other people play in... what's the racing game? Project Gotham 3.
Right. Well, that was actually one of the more fun things, was, you know, sometimes I would just leave it on at work. And you just got live races all day long, and it was kind of fun to watch, you know,
For a car fanatic, I can imagine. For me, I would gouge my eyes out quickly.
Well, you know, I mean, I didn't, like, sit there and, you know, all the time, but, you know, I mean, it's kind of neat to see, you know, it's not something made up. It's actual people, you know, racing around.
That does become more interesting to me. And what I liked about this, though, is that it was sort of educational, right? That I can see how did he do it in this amount of time. And so you can then try to beat him, kind of like a ghost trial, but a real person, and not just your ghost trial.
Yeah.
So I like how they did that, and I know that I've learned about the fact that they were stepping in that direction when they talked about Little Big Planet at the GDC this year. Now,
that was very interesting.
So I didn't really intend on talking about Super Rubidub this long.
No, that's, hey, you know.
But it was interesting.
See what we can get.
I thought its accessibility was sort of fascinating.
But, you know, speaking of, you know, educational things and the educational system, for one.
Yeah.
One thing that I've been kind of itching to talk about is, as you all may or may not have heard, apparently some high school senior got arrested for doing what? For making a Counter-Strike map modeling his school.
This is something, by the way, that I've seen, you know, while I was going to UAT, people would say that they're building the UAT building.
Everyone wants to do this.
Now, this is, not only does everyone want to do this, the reason why this surprises me is that this happens all the time. You know, when I was going to University of Maryland, we were all talking about, you know, Doom just came out. We were all talking about, oh, let's make a mod of our dorms. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy got arrested. The circumstances of his arrest are very interesting because...
We've got 1 minute. Let's lay it out there.
All right. So basically, parents found out that this kid, you know, made a mod that was a map of his school. And
so they should be proud that he used the school for something effective.
They just find out because, like, kids told them, right? So the parents are probably like, oh, how dare they do this? This is just like a massacre. He's going to kill us all. So they call the police... Right. Actually, they reported to administrators. Administrators call the police. Or police arrest the kid. They search his house. They find a hammer in the boy's room, which he had used to fix his bed, and they seized the hammer at the same time that they arrested him.
Where are you reading this from? Because this sounds too unbelievable.
This is an official report.
I saw headlines about this, but I never actually read the story about
it. This is crazy. And they thought he was, you know, terroristic threat or whatever, so we got to lock him up and... They didn't actually put him in jail, but they moved him to another school. Special school.
That's so effing hard to do.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I'm going to have to go read that story now because it sounds so unbelievable. Like, I figured, okay, fine, the cops came and talked to him, and then whatever, end of story, but that sounds like it went way too far. We'll be back after this break. Hold the thought.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And we've got a special guest, Adam.
Hello.
Right? That's right. I'm glad I didn't F that up.
Yeah, we brought Adam in here to help. I wanted to see the show. I wanted to talk a little bit on the show. And he might become part of Chatterbox if you're helping us, you know, be more chatterboxing.
I just want to be an official chatterboxer. It's one of my main goals this week.
Well, we can put the tattoo on, tomorrow? You got time.
All right.
It's a full back tattoo, though.
Nice! Will it work with Fable 2? Like, I get, like, plus 25 aggressiveness or something.
I don't know if we've worked that into the API. if you don't want to do the full back tattoo, we could just put it right over the Adam's apple. It's a little smaller, but more visible that way.
Iron Monkey Chatterbox.
Yeah.
All right, so you've got a little bit of housekeeping, don't you?
Well, I always have to tell people about UAT.edu, the University of Advancing Technology, which is one of our wonderful sponsors. And I might also talk about them later in the show on a topic that...
That,
you know, discusses schools.
That infuriates you to no end.
Not really, but I noticed it today.
I'm just being sensationalistic.
This weekend I was out of town for a couple of days, so I didn't get to read the news every single day, right? And so I went over the last few days today and was able to see something that was written a couple of days ago. That we'll bring that up. But first I want to finish up about this.
Right. So
this map making issue that we're so mad about.
So we're talking about the high school student that got arrested for making a map of his own school. Now, on the face of it, right, and this is the thing that really pisses me off. On the face of it, you know, especially in light of what happened at Virginia Tech, you know, if you don't know anything about video games, if you're just some parent, right, and you hear, oh, you know, little Joey modeled the whole school.
Oh, yeah, that sounds really creepy if you don't
know anything
about it. In a
game that's all about shooting each other and killing each other. Like, okay, you know what? Like, I can understand, like, a parent panicking, but this is just, like, this is happening over and over again in the news where, like, we're just, like, fostering this culture of panic where, you know, the parents like, oh, my God, oh, my God, and then they call the school, and then the school just takes what the parent says at their word without doing any kind of research or anything.
The thing is, there could be 20 parents going, oh, wow, that's kind of neat that he put all this effort into something and did a good job. I assume he did a good job.
It was actually...
And then it just takes one crazy ass.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, I saw screenshots, and for the work of a 17-year-old, I was very impressed.
Yeah, I thought they looked good. I saw them, too.
It looked pretty nice, pretty clean. I've seen work come out of video game schools that were worse than that. So take that for...
People much older than 17 years old.
Much older than 17.
Well, I mean, doesn't this just seem like the condition of the generation that's older, and most of them that are in power did not grow up with video games? They don't understand this medium, and so ridiculous things like this are going to continue to happen until they die away, you know?
Right. And the other thing I wanted to say was that, you know, the reason why this is no reason to panic whatsoever, besides the fact that it's, you know, whatever. I mean, it's a game that happened.
Well, we all agree it's probably a creative use of his time.
Right, right. I mean, it was a creative use, but here's the thing. It's like, okay, like just because you're modeling the school, even if you want to call it a terror simulator or whatever, not only does this happen all the time, but it's a very common subject of what to model in, you know, a game like Counter-Strike or Doom, because it's a place that, you know, kids and people like us frequent for how many hours in the day?
Well, yeah, I don't even think it's necessarily because they want to be creative. I think it's exactly the opposite. They say, we need to make a model. Well, you know, where am I going to be working on this? In the commons at school, right?
Right, right.
Where am I going to have a good reference material?
Right. Well, I mean, it's, you know, that's part of it, but it's also the fact that, you know, there's, if, you know, if you're going to school, whether it's high school or college or whatever, I mean, what space, you know, do you guys share for, like, you know, 8 hours a day, even in an office? You know, we've talked at work, we've talked about, oh, let's model our office building, you know, because that's something that's common to all of us. You know, it's something that, you know, we can all enjoy more than, you know, at least to some capacity, just making up something from scratch.
Yeah, I don't care about your house. I care about my house. So if we all share an office space. But also, beyond that, it's something that you can all critique and say, well, you did this well and you didn't do this well because look, over there, like, we're all familiar with this space. That's what makes it great.
And the thing that makes this even worse is that, you know, the kid's getting penalized for this. And really, I mean, he should be rewarded for this, because making a mod for, you know, any kind of game engine using any sort of tool is a lot of hard work, and it takes, you know, it takes some amount of ambition, and it takes a lot of effort and perseverance, and it's a hard thing to do, you know? And if you can do something like that, I mean, that's a very, very nice creative outlet.
Well,
it's not...
Do we know who this guy is? Can we send him to PAX? Can we get him over there and buy his ticket to PAX?
I don't know.
A weekend?
It's his name somewhere over here.
Someone send me his information. See if he wants to go. He can be our guest at the Chatterbox Treasure Box show. Because I'm pretty impressed with that. Again, I still don't even know the whole story, but I'm taking your word for it that...
The hammer. They did confiscate
They actually
hammer.
Confiscated a friggin' hammer from his room.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, I have tools in my house.
I know. Well, they should have confiscated his, you know, big pens, too. I mean, you know, it could be used for all kinds of nefarious activities.
I have a collection of knives in my kitchen, which are often used to cut meat so that I can eat. And perhaps they could be used as weapons.
Well, we're going to have to confiscate that a lot.
Yeah. Wow.
They took his light bulbs. So it's dangerous.
Careful. My real estate agent did tell me I should hide the knives so that when other agents come over to show my house,
they don't get any funny ideas.
Basically, the person they're showing the house to won't be nuts and cut them up into little pieces.
Wow.
That's reassuring.
I guess that's standard fare. What do I know?
Anyway, if anybody wants to call in, you can call us at 866-536-1100. We'd love to get your calls.
And talk about if you've ever modeled your school, or your house, and how many times you've been arrested for it. Now, what I said I was going to talk about the school a little bit, and the article that I read in Joystick. Honestly, it's not news to me, but I figure it must be news to other people since it was mentioned here, and I guess they didn't realize it. So a lot of people looking into potential schools, universities, or whatever for video gaming. DigiPen, as one example. There are surely others that I'm unaware of, but I have some experience going to DigiPen for a little summer camp thing, and so I know that this is the case there. And, of course, I went to UAT for several years, so I know that it's not this way at UAT. If you decide to go to DigiPen or potentially some other schools that I'm unaware of, you have to sign away right at the beginning that anything you create, any intellectual property, any games you make, any ideas you have that are, you know, put onto paper so that they could call you out on it, that property belongs to that school. And that's very much how the world works when you go to work for a company. Like if you work for Microsoft,
yeah,
right, and you have an idea for some software and you create a prototype
Or my employer, for example.
Yes. Or
we'll,
I'm
we'll
sure
named yeah. at the moment.
It's the way businesses work, but it's not the way schools are supposed to work.
Yeah. I mean, it's this way in business.
Right. But it's not it's not a like public school, right? It's essentially a Nintendo school.
Yeah, well, I mean, the claim is that it's a private school, and they have some funding, but it's not really Nintendo. It's its own institute, although it is in the same building as Nintendo of America.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It's a really cool place, actually. But yeah, you have to sign away your rights and say, any ideas I have, just like if you worked at Microsoft, you make some software, it belongs to them, not to you. And hopefully, you know, you'll get paid for doing your job, but that's about it. UAT, they make a point of saying anything you create is yours. You create the idea, the game, whatever, we'll even help you market it, and we want you to be successful. That's one example of why UAT is cool. And I know other schools probably allow that too, but check that out before you decide to actually
Seriously.
Go and become surprised 4 years later when you can't market your game. Yeah. We'll be back.
This is Joe Kukin from Command & Conquer 3, and you're listening to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show.
We are back once again, the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. Just a reminder, you can give us a call at 866-536-1100 if you're lucky enough to be listening live. And if you want to listen live, you can go to chatterboxgameshow.com or the much easier to remember chatterboxers.com. That's where our website is and where I've developed a wonderful chat room by integrating someone else's PHP code in the website.
Yay.
Now, I want to keep going. Were we done with what we were talking about there?
What were we talking about again?
That means we're done.
Exactly what I was going to say.
You know my memory gets erased between breaks.
Yeah, I didn't know if we wanted to continue on.
No, there was one thing I wanted to say, though. But
talking about schools. Digipen
schools.
And
right.
rights and stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't think that's a really big deal, actually. At first I was surprised when I heard about Digipen a long time ago that, oh, yeah, and if you go there, you know, you don't own the rights to anything you make. And I don't really think it's that big a deal because usually... For the most part, it seems like the people who make projects at schools don't really tend to market or try to make money off those games. And even if they are of a really high quality where you theoretically could, I know that there's some people that I work with, for example, that did go to DigiPen, and they did make a really, really awesome game that won a bunch of awards and stuff like that.
Yeah, we had somebody on the show once who did that. It was Rumblebox, right?
Right. And, you know... Their career has only benefited by that.
Yeah, and to be honest, like I don't think a lot of people who would make a game at a school would go on to actually market it for money. Now, in the case of a casual game, it could totally happen. But usually, even if it's a really, really good college entry, it's not something that's good enough to actually market on a console or something.
Yeah, all I'm saying is like don't make it part of your criteria about what school you go to necessarily.
Well, I mean, on the other hand, it depends on if you have an idea.
Well, that was like the
that
team
you would want to market one day.
Valve hired the team for Portal, and that was a game. Would they make that at DigiPen?
I don't know if it was from.
Yeah, yeah, they call it like a Narbacular Drop or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, I have it on my computer. I played it, and it's like
they
it
did
like,
have to change it a certain amount in order to make it usable.
It's a free download, but the game has great ideas. But you know, no one's gonna pay money for that.
No, but they were paid for their skills that they demonstrated in building that game.
Yeah. And I mean,
that's what's more important. That's what's really valuable.
But people involved with Valve, I mean, they've done a lot taking from the community and taking them on board,
yeah.
Which is, becoming more and more prevalent these days, which is really cool.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all I had for you.
Now, during the break, someone called in, so we want to bring him on. I need Andrew to start asking them what they want to talk about, though. I thought you were a screener. Isn't that your job? Okay. He says he knows us, so we're just going to put him on the air.
I don't know Scott. Do you know Scott?
I know a Scott. I don't think this is the Scott.
I don't know
probably
if you should trust
Scott.
Him.
Does Adam know Scott?
All right, let's bring him on. It's going to be one of Andrew's.
Probably not the Scott.
Probably not the Scott. All right, so Scott, where are you from?
I'm from Ontario. I called several months ago about the physics processor thing. Anyway, I'm here about the guy who made the Counter-Strike floor pan of his school.
Yes. What do you think about it?
I kind of think it's like beyond the fact that maybe he should have been sent to the counselor, blah, blah, blah. That's beyond the point. I'm just thinking from a logical sense, they were kind of counterproductive in what they were doing.
Who was counterproductive?
The the school administration.
I want to back up even further. Are you saying that he really should have gone to a counselor for making the map?
No, I was just saying hypothetically, but actually going and raiding his house and...
Oh, like if you think he should have gone to a counselor, you still shouldn't have raided the house? Is that what you're trying to say?
Sorry, no. I was just trying to say basically that all the steps they've done, let's say he actually was, like,
a psycho.
Ranged or whatever. If he were to have been at the edge, do you honestly think that going and raiding his house, expelling him from school, turning school against him...
Well, it doesn't matter, because if you're behind bars or in custody, you can go over the edge all you want, and all you can do is kill a cop, not a school full of kids. Well, it doesn't matter, because if you're behind bars or in custody, you can go over the edge all you want, and all you can do is kill a cop, not a school full of kids.
Well, I think that this is basically, you know, the result of just a system that isn't really being operated by logic necessarily, but just in... just the momentum of its own actions and own devices that are in place, and things just happen, right? You know, the cops are just doing their job. The people on the board of the school are just doing what they think is best. The parents are just doing what they think is best, and they're not really interacting with each other, so it's kind of like a, you know, like a chain reaction type thing that happens.
To be honest, I question whether or not it has anyone was doing what they think is best, or if they were doing what they thought was covering their own ass.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it could be one and the same thing.
They find out, well... nobody paid attention to this Joe guy who shot up Virginia Tech, so we saw signs early, but we didn't do anything about it. If only someone had done something.
Basically, everyone's just freaking out, and the thing that really sucks about this is that, you know what? You're just not going to know when someone is going to flip out, and attempts that you make in order to preempt that are going to violate people's rights.
I don't know. I think if you play Doom, it's a pretty good sign you're going to freak out and kill a lot of people.
Oh, definitely.
Well, then, yeah.
Mortal Kombat 2 on the SNES.
You know what? I'm going to go straight to the police station after this because, you know, I'm an unsafe individual.
Scott, do we get your point now?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Hey, I appreciate Scott, your calling in.
Scott, do me a favor. Stick to LEGO Star Wars. No more Doom, man. No more Doom.
No more Doom. Yeah, I played Doom just the other day.
Really?
No. Unlike my TI-82. Now, that's just so far-fetched, so idiotic, that I don't even want to give it that much thought. I mean, we asked people to call in, and I wanted them to call in to share their thoughts. And the more I think about it, the more I think, I don't know if I even care.
Call in about other topics, perhaps.
No, I just... it's so dumb. Andrew's giving me this look.
That he's it seemed like he was kind of like holding his breath there for a second.
He's like, what are you, discouraging callers? Oi!
He's beside himself.
I'm just glad Scott's listening live. He seems like a good guy.
No, and I don't want him to get the impression that I'm upset that he called or anything. It's just like someone who would actually go raid a house, a kid's house, because he made a model of this. There's either way more to the story than I know, or they really just didn't want to lose their jobs, and they were scared of the one in a million chance. And you know what? If a kid goes and shoots up the school after making a model, fine. You know what? He's going to do something crazy. And the fact that I didn't do anything about it, I would have needed a lot more.
I'm sure there's way more to this story.
Pretty soon, any kid who gets mad or gets upset and yells at someone or, you know, throws a pencil or something in classroom is going to have to, you know, get taken out of the classroom. Like anyone who screws up in an airplane, right? You have to be arrested and held and, like, talked to for 30 minutes because you mentioned the word bomb in the airport, right? That's what it becomes. And that's not really what the world should become. Even though it is like that in some places. At least in schools, you should be learning real life lessons.
Like modding.
Like how to map.
Yeah. It's a useful skill for some people. All right, so I keep telling you guys during the break and before we start that I want to talk about Catan.
You like Catan.
Oh, my God.
You really like that game.
Yes, I do. So I finally came out, right? I mentioned last Tuesday that it was coming out that night, you know, on Wednesday. So.
And you haven't slept 1 minute since.
Well, that's not true, but it came out, and at first it didn't have a demo available, so I was a little bit bummed. I was like, all right, I'm going to buy it. And this is where I first encountered the whole, you can't spend just $10 on live, you have to spend $12.50 issue.
Yeah, you like that, huh?
That's been brought up.
That's slick, isn't it?
Finally kicked me in the ass, because I've avoided putting any money into that in the past. So finally, I spent $12.50 on a $10 game, which I was very excited to do. Yeah, that was really exciting.
You can buy some icons with that leftover money, man.
I'm very happy about that. So anyway, I paid $12.50 for a game that cost $10, but it was still worth it. It's a good game. And unfortunately, there aren't a lot of friends of mine who are playing it, like Xbox Live friends. I don't understand it. I don't, like, maybe Adam, do Do you have an Xbox 360 even? Do you not?
No, you don't. I have this problem with money. Money. And having money to buy good games.
Meanwhile, you're the one who gets paid to do what I essentially do here.
I didn't say I got paid a lot. I just get paid.
Okay. So, I'm playing Catan when I have my extra moments. Saturday morning, Friday night, whatever. Like tonight, if I wasn't doing the show right now, I'd be playing Catan. So, I'm going to bring it up and point out to people, it's a board game. It was this board game made by some German guy who made a bunch of really good board games, and they converted it to Xbox Live, and it's really good. So I'm curious how we feel about the idea of a board game getting converted into like video game land. And like, I know it's been done before, right? Life might have even been a video game. On PC, right. Every board game has been turned into a video game, but none of them successful enough to make me actually want to play it. And Monopoly, like, all these games are based on chance, but Settlers, not so much.
Right. Actual strategy game.
Yeah. A lot of strategy goes into that game. And it might be argued how much strategy occurs during the course of the game versus, like, the first 3 minutes of the game. But still, the game is essentially strategy, and there's randomness involved. But no matter what, it's still a game. It's not just, like, we were talking about the other day, Risk.
Right.
You brought up the example. And I'm sure just by mentioning that word, we had, 100 listeners just suddenly squirt their pants going, oh, my God, Risk is so awesome.
You know what? I don't think they have. I think everyone understands how crappy Risk really is.
I don't know.
Because we've gotten no word. So they must be like, we all agree with Aro completely.
Nobody called in the last
Risk,
30 seconds.
Risk is the most boring board game ever made.
Because it essentially converts to, you called it spreadsheet gaming.
It's right? Yeah, there's a basic strategy and, you never deviate from that, and it takes 2 hours to play. So it's like, there's no real decision making. You just, once you know basically what to do, that's it.
Yeah, it just turns into a numbers game. And where, Settlers, like I said, it's not just randomness and it's not just pure decision, this happens, then do this. There's a lot of varying going on, and based on what other people do, you can change your strategy, and you're forced to change your strategy in many situations.
Right, and that's the hallmark of a good game.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm really enjoying it. And one of my points is that I'm enjoying it more than other games that are available, like action games and whatnot. I'm not playing Gears of War.
Yeah, that's because a lot of the games, at least a lot of the Xbox Live games, are kind of crappy too.
Well, certainly a lot are, but there's a lot of good games out there too. I'm not playing Geometry Wars. I'm playing Catan. And so I want to know, what are the genres out there that, are games you can play in real life that convert well to video gaming? And we'll talk about that during the next segment. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And Andrew's trying to run sound effects and failing. My name's Alon.
And we've got a special guest, Adam, here, and apparently our studio's filled with cats.
Adam, thank you for joining us, in case I forget to say at the end of this segment. I wanted to know what genres you think convert well to video games that don't necessarily have to be video games. And we've got a caller on the line. Andrew, of course, the wonderful screener that he is, we don't know if that's what this person's calling for.
What's his name? Is it Mr. Snerdly?
All right. Well, Matt is going to get 10 seconds of my time unless he has something incredibly fascinating that I want to hear. You can blow him up. Hey, Matt.
How's it going?
Hey, what's
wonderful.
Up, Matt?
You're on Chatterbox.
All right. Yeah, I was thinking that it'd be kind of nice to see a decent transition of pen and paper RPGs to computer for a change, or any online game.
Pen and paper, so you mean to the point that
D&D,
you actually
whatever.
Have a... Well, they have a lot of D&D games. And in fact, the most recent Dungeons & Dragons Online tried to be as faithful as it could. At least that's what the developers told me.
Good series of tools for like a DM to create a campaign and players to join in, that kind of stuff.
Would you actually want to see like a virtual piece of paper where you decide like I'm gonna have these stats and call my warrior this and whatever? Is that what you're?
Well, that
you're
could work, at? But menus for that kind of stuff, a series of CD builders so they could actually create a dungeon that has a visual representation as opposed to just being a series of words.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that could be kind of cool.
Someone could spend a lot of his off time, like the DM, the Dungeon Master, who we've learned from T-Mobile commercials or all.
I'd say that call is weak alone.
Doesn't actually have
Dungeon
Masters
don't have levels.
Yeah, I love that commercial.
What a dork.
My roommate's like, Alon, what does that mean? I was like, dude, that's funny. just let it go. So like the DM on his off time could build the world, and then you could get it. That actually,
you
that
know
would
what?
Be interesting to me.
I could, my memory's really fuzzy on this, but I remember seeing a Japanese game that might have done that sort of thing at one point.
I mean, it's kind of like a cross between RPG Maker and something more casual for the people who aren't the person making the level.
Once again, that concept is way too cool for Americans, so it would never come out here. But what I find to be really ironic is that isn't that basically what RPGs as video games were supposed to be at first? And they've developed into this kind of weird, like, kind of their own thing, not really the same as the original RPGs?
Well, they're still, like, turn-based, but they all started off single-player, right? Because there wasn't a lot of online gaming before. But now we could bring in, you could have a party of three or four, six actual people, and playing a game that's more resembling the old pen and paper stuff. And honestly, I've never played pen and paper role-playing games. I've never played role-playing games.
I've only done it once. And it was with a bunch of kids in high school, and it was at some old guy's house who would repeatedly drink beer out of this tankard.
Yeah.
And he was a weirdo.
Listen, Matt, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. That's not a horrible idea. Board games in general, I didn't get to elaborate on this too much. Obviously, I think they're pretty easy to convert over into video games because it's, I mean, there's a game that's already created. It's pretty simple.
Turn-based is naturally easier implementation-wise than something
like
that's
physics.
Real-time.
Getting AI together is, I think, the hardest part of that. And I know that the AI, like the lead programmer for Catan, according to the credits, like he and Klaus Tuber, whatever his name is, the guy who actually created Catan, were the two people involved in the AI for the game. And, I mean, they could very well have created that without AI and said it's online only. But, I mean, I think Microsoft probably says there has to be a single-player component to the game.
Even though apparently they hate that.
What do you mean?
For Xbox Live. They want multiplayer. They're pushing the multiplayer very, very hard, and while multiplayer is nice and all, there's still a lot to be said for the single-player experience, and I'm kind of miffed that they're pushing the multiplayer angle so hard.
I'm pissed about Catan, because I was playing a game, the last game I played, I think it was yesterday, playing, and then, so I've got four people in the game, and then it just, it's got some horrible bugs that piss me off, like the whole game freezes.
It has bugs? I just saw on the internet that it's relatively bug-free, that it's a smooth sailing experience.
Yeah, no.
Oh, well.
So, like, I have this game with four people, and all of a sudden, like, the timer stops, and I can't do anything, and it doesn't seem unresponsive. Like, I can still sort of rotate the board and whatever, but it goes on for, like, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, with no response whatsoever from the game world. And then, one of the characters goes from his gamer tag to the cheesy name that's given to him by an AI player. So all of a sudden, after about 5 minutes, as the three different players drop off at varying times, I've waited all this time, and now I'm playing single player against three computer opponents, yet I'm in a ranked game.
Wow. Yeah, that's one of the weird anomalies that I think it seems like a lot of Xbox Live games have, just because of the structure that Microsoft's imposed on.
And I always
lose. Guys have to do
that's
it.
The meta game. How much of that can you take before you break your 360?
Yeah, I was mad because they must, because it's a ranked game, put in a really difficult player as you know, as the AI player, because then I caught my butt handed to me
that,
every time it converts to
that
a
totally
player.
Doesn't make sense though. I mean, would you rather have it the way it is now, or would you rather like just have it be over when people drop out?
It's, the problem with this game is that it's not like with, you know, a shooter or something where if the guy drops out, the game could continue without him there. The game would not be viable if there weren't the four players playing.
Right.
I mean,
but
you could start a three-player game.
No,
and play the whole
understood.
Thing three.
But my question is, you know, if you know that you're playing a ranked game against humans, I mean, I tried not to color the question, but I guess I'm going to. Wouldn't you rather have the game just end if all the if all the humans are gone, then it's somehow magically seamlessly convert to, you know, a match against computer players that you don't care about?
Yes. I want to play against humans.
Yeah, I never understood why they do that. It's like,
I can understand if one person drops out, then, okay, it fills it with a computer player. Because something's going to happen, whatever, and there's going to be too many games that have to end because of that.
That's kind of in the gray. I kind of agree.
But if
that.
Two drop out and it becomes half and half, they really should just give the option of, do you want to drop the game right now and accept your ranking as first and second or whatever.
This is one of those weird like Microsoft standards decisions that, you know, if you don't play games and you don't understand like what it is that you're actually, you know, dealing with here, like it makes perfect logical sense. But to anybody who actually plays the game, like, it makes no sense. You know, they did this in PGR, and you're playing, you know, racing against, you know, human players, and they drop out. It's like, okay, well, you know, it should be over because there's nobody to race against. That's the whole point that you're playing a ranked match.
Yeah, the fact that it's a ranked match, if it was just a player match and it didn't have much
support. Right, right. I'm talking about the ranked matches, of course.
In ranked, it just, it doesn't make sense. And I wish I could have a better understanding of how the ranking happens. And one thing, I was playing against people who were ranked 5 and 6. And does that, is that the ranking like Halo style where you get better? You get a higher rank as you move on? Or is it ranking like based on all the players, rank 1 is the best? I don't know. I wish I had like some instruction on what that meant.
It seems like every game does like a slightly different implementation. And from my relatively minimal experience in this, it seems like most of the games are using some kind of like chess-style ELO ranking system.
Well, it uses the word rank, and rank usually means that number one is the best.
Right, right, right.
But I have a feeling what it meant was like skill level. Like in Halo,
yes, that is what it is.
Halo 2 Online, you know, a level 14 or you're a level 25 and it goes up to like level 50 or something. And I have a feeling that's what rank means. But then again, I've seen people that were ranked really, really highly. And so I don't know if the numbers just don't mean anything yet. But bottom line, Catan's a good game, regardless of its flaws. And people should become friends with Chatterbox Alon and play Catan. I could be on at 9 in the morning or 10 at night or whatever. But it doesn't matter because you should just play whenever I'm playing. That's a general rule of thumb.
Do they get to call in with bragging rights if they beat you?
Sure. Whatever.
Alon thinks he can beat everybody at Catan.
Yeah, I mean, it's a four-player game. 75% of the time, you're probably going to be losing, right? I mean, 100% if you're playing against me, but otherwise, your chances are pretty good that you're still going to fail.
So I've got a little piece of board game, video game trivia for you guys.
Okay.
Do you, any of you guys know what the first console board game video game was?
Go?
No.
Othello?
Well, okay, that came out here. Maybe. It might have been Othello.
Do you know the answer to
now
your
that
question,
I think about
Ara?
It.
Othello
but,
came out for Nintendo.
It might have been that. I can't remember if that came out first or this other game called Anticipation, made by Rare.
That's a good game, but I don't think that's really a board game.
Oh, it was a board. It was never made as a board game, but it was a board
game.
It
looked like a board game. I was thinking about that, but no, Othello came out before that.
Video game implementation.
Anyway, we've had another great show. Thank you, Adam, for joining us and seeing what the show
me.
Is all about. Thank you, Andrew, for ruining the show. Thank you, Ara, for being here with me. We will be back next week. Go to chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about us in your off hours.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.